Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Hi there, a very warm welcome along to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington, and joining me today to look ahead to some classic action and all sorts of great racing all over the place of Paul Keighley. And a very welcome back to Mark Boylan, the boy wonder from Ireland, who he's been off furthering his journalistic skills up in Scotland, but he's back at the Racing Post for the summer. And very welcome back. He's a fine judge. He will have all the lowdown on all the good stuff we've got going ahead in Ireland and also over here as well. So let's start then with the big race of the weekend. It's the 4:10 at the Curragh on Saturday. It's the Tattersall's Irish 2000 Guineas. Paddy Power, our sponsor's bet, for guide purposes only, or you may fancy one as well. 6-4, Ella Cam. Hang on a sec, I've got to sort my Racing Post app. You can sort the app out now by odds, horse, RPRs and all sorts, can't you?
Yeah, I've sorted mine by odds already. We've got, not got
we've got a whole, we've done an update, so there's all sorts of new ways of sorting.
Right, yeah, of course.
So
yeah.
I'm back on odds. 6-4, Ella Cam. 11-4, US Navy Flag. 7-2, Gustav Klimt. 7-1, Z-Bar. 14-1, Symbolisation. And 20s Bar. Mark, welcome back to the podcast. Start us off with a winner. Who's going to win the Irish 2000?
Well, I'm actually quite sweet and want to start her off, Bruce, and I was thrilled to see that Ryan Moore is on board US Navy Flag. I'm very confident about him, and I think perhaps that Ryan has gone that direction rather than riding Gustav Klimt could suggest that perhaps the latter isn't flying at present, and I think physically he didn't develop a whole pile over the winter, just visually anyway, and I really like the look of US Navy Flag. He was awesome in the Dewhurst last year, and when Ballydoyle got it tactically A1, and I think it can be a very similar setup here. I think this is going to be tactical. You know, he needs to get to the front early, and that didn't happen in France in the French Guineas last time. He was drawn widest of all. It was a nightmare run. I'd encourage anyone to watch it back. He didn't get the rail early, and he actually slipped on the bend. He lost momentum, and he got squeezed for space, but somehow he was still in front with just over half a furlong to go. And from that point of view at the start, he's drawn 7 on Saturday. On his inside, he's got Spanish Point in 6, which is Aidan O'Brien and Porrig Beggy, and 3 and 4 pence, Jamie Heffernan for Aidan. I think that he just might be lucky enough to be able to get across this time and for things to part from. And I think the two main questions people will have as to why he's not favoured is, does he stay? And for me, he definitely wasn't stopping over 7 in the Dewhurst. And Misty, for me, his dam won the Irish Guineas. And has he trained on is the other question. And I saw no sign of it last time. And Roly Poly, the full sister, she had an almost identical profile to him coming to this race. And she ran a cracker in second, had a really good 3-year-old campaign. So for me, he's a pound higher than Ella Cam in the ratings. He's a really hardy devil. I think he could be hard to stop. I'm struggling to see US Navy Flag beaten.
Cool, there's no rust on Mark, is there? A good case. Keels, how are you seeing this?
Well, just echo everything he says, really. Yeah, he did slip, had a bit of a stumble in France. He's got the best 2-year-old form. And I think he should be favourite. I mean, I certainly wouldn't rule out LR Cameron's a good fourth in the Guineas.
But 6-4 doesn't do it for you.
6-4 doesn't do it for me, no. I think the US Navy Flag should be favourite. As long as there's not too much rain around and the grandstand's good and fast, he'll be fine, yeah.
I think with the weather this weekend, Kills, we're sort of expecting kind of what I might call guerrilla showers to just strike anywhere at any time. I rang you yesterday from Goodwood and it was absolutely hammering it down, and it had done for quite a while. So you might find there's sort of sudden going changes popping up all over the
you
place.
Could just do. With or all these, you know, we're all showers. Expecting them, and I was looking at the latest forecasts, and they're not saying there's going to be that much. Like, you know, but I think they just don't know because it's thunderstorms, isn't it? You just don't know where they're going to hit and how long they're going to be.
Absolutely.
I think we're pretty dry over here, to be quite honest.
Okay, so let's look at the 3:35 now at the Curragh. It's a sprint, high quality affair, no prices just yet. Kills, who do you think will be favourite and who do you think will be winner?
I think Brando deserves to be favourite, having been second in the Duke of York last time to that very, very fast Harry Angel. Tazley is obviously a massive player if he's as good as he was when he won the Duke of York first time out last year. For me, it's between those two. I don't see the Irish getting a look in. They're both very, very good sprinters. I'd favour Brando with the run.
Do you like Brando as well, Mark?
Yeah, I think he's a very nice horse, but I think I'd just take a flyer at probably one at a bigger price would be Fass. Now, he's not one that many would know about in this part of the world, but he was racing in France last season, and Ballylinch stood over here. They acquired a share in him with the idea that he would go to the Commonwealth Cup when he was quietly fancied and hopefully strike there. But he's had a couple of hold-ups last season, but he bolted up in a Shanty Group 3 last year and had a real wow factor about it. Lost his way in his last couple of starts, but he's joined Eddie Lynham this season. It's his first start for him, and he's a dab hand with these sprinters we've seen with Soul Power and Slade Power. You're taking a bit of a risk. He's back from a break. break, but I think he could be worth having a look at each way, especially if a few bob was knocking around from beforehand. That's Fass.
Okay, and one of the other big races on this great card at the Curragh on Saturday is the 4:45. It's the Lambwade Stud Stakes for fillies and mares. And Mark, who do you see as the likely winner here? Hydrangea?
Yeah, it's very hard to get away from Hydrangea. Now, from a betting point of view, I would also struggle to weigh in behind her, as we know that Aidan O'Brien, when you have these fillies have their first starts of the year, they can come on leaps and bounds. So I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a rough and ready Hydrangea, one that isn't at peak fitness. She should still be good enough to beat these. Gold Rush will probably give her most to think about, but Hydrangea will most likely win, but I couldn't get too confident in terms of punting when she's coming off, what, 217 days.
Have you got an angle here, Kills?
No, not really. I mean, it's just whether she's fit, but she's got, you know, the best part of a stone in hand over these, really. So,
anything else at the Curragh, Mark?
There's one filly I like in the 5:20, Wisdom Mind for Joseph and Donica O'Brien. She had a lovely win at the Curragh last time after bumping into a decent sort of filly at Limerick. She used to be trained by Cricket Head Marek in France, and she has plenty of pace. She can use that from stall too. I think she's well handicapped off 85, so Wisdom Mind in the 5:20, that'll be one that jumps off the card for me.
Okay, 8 races on ITV4 at 3 venues on Saturday. We will look at those next.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Okay, the main meeting in Britain on Saturday is at Haydock Park. Let's take 4 ITV4 races in chronological order, starting with the Amex Ready Mixed Concrete Handicap. Kills, do you have a concrete fancy for this one?
Not a massively concrete fancy, but I do think you can get Glenn will go well. I mean, there's a couple that are shorter than in the betting. I think Mancini and Byron Flyer are the two market leaders. Now, Byron Flyer was 5th at Chester, and a couple of places behind him was Yukon Glen, and Byron Flyer was half the price. Now, the former Byron Flyer, he didn't get a clear run, but he was drawn 2 that day, and Yukon Glen was drawn 14, and he was only beaten a few lengths further behind, and he just never had the run of the race, and he's run 2 consistent races, and he's one of the horses that won't mind if there's a serious going change, because he does act well on soft ground and acts on fast ground as well. It's one of those things that the clerk of the course, I think, was putting 8 mil a day on from Sunday to Wednesday, and there was no rain at all forecast, and then suddenly it appeared on this forecast, and they could be in trouble if they get a lot.
I mean, poor old Kirkland. He gets so much grief, doesn't he? Well, it just seems to be such a hard place to.
I certainly wouldn't give him any grief for watering when he did, because I look early in the week all the time at the forecast, and there was nothing anywhere in the country. It was all dry, and had he not done anything, it would have been a rock hard, but they might just get really unlucky.
So okay, so prepare for anything. Mm. 2:15 Haydock, Mark Boylan. Any fancies?
Going to weigh in with Paul there. I like Yukon Glen as well, and he was so keen last time. Jesus, like he pulled his chance away. He has done that before, but I think when you consider that he was in 14 last time, Byron Flyer in 2, he actually got the better of him in the Shergar Cup last year as well. He's £1 better off now too. He's got a nice finishing kick. Jim Goldie amongst the winners this week. Yeah, he'll do for me.
2:50 is the Amex Silver Bowl Handicap. Paddy Power bet 9-2. Crack on. 11-2, Kazar. 13-2 Completion, 17-2 Dragon's Tail, 10-1 Adjutant, and 11-1 Highlight Reel. Almost said Highland Reel. That would be a fair price. And it's 12-1 Bar. Mark Boylan, who wins this?
Well, I hope you're right that Highlight Reel can do a Highland Reel. I do like him here. Now, you'd be a little bit concerned that he's drawn 16, but there's slight encouragement there. I think in the last 7 runs, you've had winners from 15, 12, 10, and 13. So it's not entirely detrimental, but geez, this horse would take the eye out of the back of your head there at Ascot last time. It was his first start for 260-odd days, I think, and he travelled like he was going to devour them, but he just had to switch late, lost momentum, and he just tired. And I have slight concern that Jamie Spencer said when he won him before that he doesn't do a lot in front, but he's been gelded since that run last season when he mentioned that, and hopefully his mind is a bit more on the job. He's bottom weight here, and I'd have to think he's better than 82, and hopefully Highlight Reel at a double figure price can give you a good run.
Mark, next Thursday there's a landmark birthday for Mr. Keighley. How old do you reckon he is?
Oh, 21, like me.
No,
20,
no,
like myself, 21.
You've got to have a proper guess.
Oh, Jesus. I'll be nice to say 45.
Ah, what a lovely man.
No,
I don't think 45 is a landmark.
It's the big 5-0.
Big 5-0, yeah.
Now, Kills, when Mark Boylan is 50, I reckon he will have achieved a fair bit in this game, don't you? I think he'll be one of the main presenters on Irish TV. He's an absolute talent,
isn't
he?
Shadow of a doubt, mate. Yeah,
what were you doing when you were 20?
What was I doing as a man? Same as I'm doing now, really, drinking and punting.
Oh, Jesus.
Fair enough. Kills, who wins the silver bowl?
Right, it was interesting. The two favourites, Kazar and Crack On, have got form that ties them in very closely. They both ran in maidens last year, two of them. Kazar was three lengths ahead of Crack On in the first one, and then he beat Crack On when he won his maiden by a length. But since then, he's come out and he's won twice this year, and Crack On has won once, and Kazar's got to give him £12. I don't think there's anywhere near that between them, and I think Crack On is an exceptionally well handicapped horse. He ran at Lingfield last time. He traded at 1,000 in running. He was drawn on the outside, went to the inside, pulled like a train early, was last with a furlong to come, and then just absolutely flew, and he won with plenty in hand in the end. You were ready to see a horse win so easily and trade at 1,000, and I just think he's, you know, this sort of race, you see 16, 17 runners and you think, oh, 11 to 2 and that, but, you know, this race is routinely won by something that gets smashed up because it is so well handicapped, and it wouldn't surprise me if he ends up, you know, being one of the favs for the Britannia.
Okay, it's the Sandy Lane next, the 325, sponsored by Armstrong Aggregates. And Paddy Power bet 100-30 Invincible Army, 7-2 Heartache, 4-1 James Garfield, 4-1 Sands and Marley, 17-2 Barraquero, and unfortunately, and 14-1 Bar. There is a certainty in this race. Mark Boylan, have you detected it?
Bruce, you're putting pressure on me now. I like James Garfield, but
correct.
I thought he was strappy.
Correct.
Oh, that's the job. Now we're hurling. Yeah, I think he ran well in the Guineas to a certain point there, and I think this drop back to six is what he really wants. D'Souza now taking over, and I'd like to steal a bit of market confidence that he hasn't been let down with an idea for going for the Commonwealth Cup, but yeah, I'm glad we're in agreement, Bruce.
Most people are absolutely horrified when they agree with me.
I'm horrified that you think James Garfield will win.
Why?
I just don't think he shapes like a sprinter at all.
Don't
funny,
you?
That, isn't it? Yeah.
I think no.
No, I don't, no. I think Heartache could be a good thing, as long as the ground doesn't get on the soft side. I think Heartache, on good firm ground last year in the Queen Mary, she absolutely battered the punted on Wesley Worthing, happy like a fool. She beat Havana Grey on her last start last season on good to soft ground, but, you know, the faster it is, the better it is for her. Clive Cox, obviously brilliant with sprinters. Harry Angel, obviously Reckless Abandon. He could not have been more complimentary about her in this Racing Post stable tour. And I'll be very, very surprised if she doesn't turn into a very decent sprinter.
Be heartache for you, mate, when James Garfield comes past her. The big race of the card is the 4 o'clock, the Armstrong Aggregates Temple Stakes. And we've got a real speedball in here heading the market. The brilliant Batash is 8-11 with Paddy Power, who bet 11-2 Catchy, 9-1 Muthmere, 12-1 Take Cover, 14-1 Washington DC, and the ultra progressive Mabs Cross, 14 Havana Grey, 25 Bar Kills. Who wins this?
Hopefully Batash. I mean, he looked brilliant last year when he was right, didn't he? He had that one day at York when it just boiled over. There's a massive, massive crowd at York. Don't think it'll be, you know, it won't be so busy at Haydock. It will at Royal Ascot, though, so I would hold your bets until he's down the start. I certainly wouldn't back him anti-post because, you know, he might struggle to deal with the occasion there. But just how good he looked in the Prix de l'Abbé last year. I mean, I know he's given £5 away. I was thinking of having a sneaky each way bet on Catchy, who just looked ridiculously fast at Chester last time. But I think I'll just sit back and watch Batash win, hopefully.
And Mark, what's your thoughts on this race?
Yeah, similar sort of feelings. I hope as a racing fan you go and see Batash do the business here and win well. If it did stay dry, if we do get a nice day tomorrow, I think on quick ground, it's really what Washington DC needs. But that horse has my heart and bank account banjacks to this stage. he shows his best when he does get that sort of surface. He ran well in Dubai, and you can completely forget about the run last time at Navan. It was yielding to soft, I think. Top weight, stiff track like Navan. He would have absolutely hated it. And I think they're actually considering running them in Hong Kong just in late April. So I doubt it was even anywhere in the plan. I'd say this was more along the lines of it. He was 3-1 favourite last year when drawn away from the action. I'd say Wayne Lorden, if he can bury him in behind and come with a run, that he could hit a place, but that's all very weather permitting.
Now, I haven't heard the word banjacks for ages, one of my favourites. If I look in the dictionary for banjacks, what does it mean again?
I don't know. All I know is I'm very sad anytime I've backed Washington DC in the past. I'd say it's in ruins more so. You'd kind of something along those lines that it's you're well and truly broken.
Word of the day, Banjax. Goodwin, York next.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18 plus, begambleaware.org.
I was down at Goodwood yesterday, very pleasant day, and lots of very visible security. If you're going along to Goodwood tomorrow, I'm sure you're going to have a fantastic time and have fun. Let's hope we can arm you with some winners. Starting with the 155, it's the NetBet Mobile Bet 10 Get 10 Festival Stakes. Paul Keeley, who wins?
If there's any more rain, then I'd be very confident in What About Carlo. I didn't think he was about 6-1 in places. He's won two good races this season. He's dropping in class. He's won here, and he'd be the only one in the field that likes a bit of cut in the ground. It is good to soft at the moment. It'll probably dry out a bit, but even on good ground, I think at the prices, he is the bet.
And Eve had a big winner yesterday, didn't she?
Yeah. A cracking trainer. I tend to back quite a few of her horses actually for some reason. You know,
I like Eve Johnson Horton. She seems a nice lady, isn't she? I've never met her, but on Twitter she seems nice.
Exactly. And I like What About Carlo too. He's just a consistent, honest horse, and he's running at his level now, and I think he's a bigger price than he should be.
What about Carlo for Kills? Who for you, Mark Boylan?
Yeah, look, if any rain arrived here, I think it could blunt the speed of some of them, and one that stays further here, and that could play to its strengths, is Algometer. I know the 1-2 last year, reopposing first sitting in Spark Plug, but that was running good to form. With Algometer, has winning form of the course, second Autocratic, first time up there, who is race fit. I think beating an X should improve past it. So for me, Algometer should be going very, very close here.
Okay, Mark, we'll stick with you for the 2:30 winner. It's the NetBet Sport Handicap over 7 furlongs. Who's the winner?
I would have had more chance of picking the Eurovision winner now than trying to find the winner of this one. I to be honest, I'd take a flyer on one here. Mark Johnson has a very good record at Goodwood. I think if you were to follow him blind for the last 5 years, he'd be up 93 quid or something. And one horse that caught my eye when he won at Chelmsford in a novice stakes in March was Aquarium. And, he travelled well to a point last time before fading out of it, hung a little bit at Ascot.
He was tanking, was he?
Yeah, I think he was talking similar
Get
lines
killed,
to that.
Aquarium.
Yes, very good.
I think that's a fairly apt one for this sort of horse. Yeah, I hope he can put it in the finish, but I wouldn't be surprised if from this wide draw he's more prominent, gets settled down from the front and kicks on again like them typical Mark Johnson horses. I just think that the promise he showed in kicking away from the front of Chelmsford for that day was very good. Big difference in class here, but you're going to get, 25-1, that sort of price, 33-1 on him. He'll do for me in each way squeak.
So Aquarium could easily get a place, you reckon?
Oh, that's very fishy now, isn't it?
Okay, Kills, who wins this one?
Yeah, I backed a horse last Saturday at Doncaster, and if you'd had me on film then, and you'd have had to have the bleep machine for about 5 minutes, because what Jamie Spencer did, stuck in behind so many horses, it was only about an 8-runner race and he got behind every single one of them. By the time he come out, it was just too late. He didn't get there on Maverick Officer. It was the best horse in the race by a country mile, travelled like a dream. He's right down the bottom. He has to run effectively off £4 high, but I'm not worried about that. He's £2 out of handicap. He should have won.
We played golf with the trainer.
We played golf with the trainer
on
Monday. Yeah,
he just about got over it, hadn't he?
Great old boomerang shot on him, hasn't he?
Yes.
starts one side of the trees and lands the other side. No, it was brilliant. But anyway, Maverick Officer, David Simcock ran a horse called Bless Him in this race from out of the handicap last year. And it was unlucky in that race and probably should have won. And they were desperate to get it up the weights to get into the Britannia. And Bless Him actually got in as third reserve on the day and won it. And I just think this horse is following the same route, out of the handicap, decent draw in four. If he gets the breaks, I think he's got to go well.
OK, let's go across to York now. There's two ITV4 races there, starting with the 305. It's the Al Besti Equiworld Dubai Bronte Cup Filly Stakes. What a mouthful. It's a Group 3. And Rafe Beckett will win it with Isabel de Urbina. Won't he, Kiehl's?
He might do. I think I found this race really, really hard to fathom, to be honest. But, again, depending if they get a lot of rain, the French horse, Do Re Mi Fa Sol, is the second highest rated horse in the race and about fourth or fifth in the betting, probably just because it comes from France. And I think, but a lot of her form is on softish ground. So if it's really fast, I wouldn't be backing her. But I think she'd go close if there's a bit of cut.
That it?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I just thought. I'm not confident at all.
Are you confident, Mark?
No, I'd harbour similar sort of concerns here, Bruce. But I go with Precious Ramwatsi for John Gosden. It's rare you'd put forward a horse that won off 88 at Brighton last time for a Group 3. But I think the major South Open trip, it's a gamble, but I think it's going to suit her. She needed every yard of the mile and a quarter last time. She's a likely race four-year-old. And Rab Havlin was kind of suggesting that they thought a bit of her for a while, but she had niggly problems. And if she settles well here, I think she can go close. But at the same time, it's far from a confident shout now, by any means.
Okay, the theme of tomorrow is definitely sprinting, isn't it? We've got loads of really good sprints. And 3:40 at York is the Mansion Bet Sprint Handicap over 5 furlongs. Some good old names like Duke of Frenzy, Mr. Lupton and Gold Dream. Kills, have you got a confident choice here?
I wouldn't say confident, but I do think Top Weight, you know, despite his age, Duke of Frenzy's got a fair chance. I thought he ran really well, travelled nicely behind Catchy last time. Obviously, they all got beaten miles in the end. But, you know, he travelled really nicely and came through to challenge for second at one point. I just thought it was a nice introduction.
He'll
almost certainly have the dash in mind. But I think with these sprinters at this age, you try and win any race that's got got a decent pot in it, don't you? You know what I mean? And I think, you know, obviously you've got the bullet that is El Astronaut, who's drawn really high. But actually Carlton Frankie led him that day and he's drawn low as well. And so Duke of Frenzel will get a toe in from six. I think he will run well.
Okay, Mark, who's your pick?
Yeah, I think there could be a potential little bit of a plot here. I know with these sprint handicappers, it's hard to suggest that, but one man that can do it is Paul Midgley, and I think this is falling right for final venture here. He likes to bounce out in front, but he hasn't been in flying form lately. I thought he ran respectable enough here 10 days ago, but he did stumble coming out of the gates, and he was fending off challenger until the final furlong, and that was over six. I think three of his last four starts have been over six. This fella definitely needs five, and he's dropped 2 pounds for the last day. He's only 100 now, and around this last year, he just touched off by Take Cover over course and distance in a listed contest. He was up to 1-1-2 then, so if he was able to get back to any sort of form last year, he's a very well treated horse. These are the conditions he wants at last. Drawn 15 isn't ideal now, but I'd like to when Paul is considering that, but if he can get in there with El Astronaut, if they don't blow the heads off each other, he could be quite nice. And if he's supported with Paul Midgley's sort of horses, I think he could go well.
Final venture there for Mark. Okay, let's do the old roundup. We've got the rest of the non-TV action. We've got Chester, Cartmel, Salisbury and Fosslass. Loads to get stuck into. Mark Boylan, who should we be backing away from the glare of the ITV cameras?
Yeah, just one stood to me there in Britain, Bruce, in the 6:50 at Salisbury, M. Boer. Now, she made a cracking debut over 5 furlongs. I think it was in April last year behind Gold Town at Charlie Appleby's, who went on to Dubai afterwards, and he won really impressively out there before disappointing behind Mendelssohn in that UAE derby. But the step to 7 furlongs wasn't ideal and first run for a long time last time. Drawn one now, over 6 furlongs, and Sean Levy taking the mount for Richard Hannan. Very much appeals to me, M. Boer in the 6:50 at Salisbury.
M. Boer, EMBOUR. Kills, what have you got for us? Is it a long list?
Yeah, no, I've got three. I've got two at York, both ground related. I don't want it to get too soft there.
Well, it's good to firm at the moment.
Yeah, it's good to firm at the moment. Again, it's supposed to rain all day today, apparently. That's what they were saying on the BHA website. So we'll have to wait and see. But anyway, Golden Apollo, he does actually handle soft ground, but I worry about him getting home over 7 furlong. If it is soft, that's in the 2 o'clock. I thought he ran a really eye-catching race over 6 furlong last time. I think he wants 7 furlong now, at least on fast ground, and he likes York, and he's well enough handicapped. And in the last, we've got Zach Baker, who's normally riding 3 mile chasers over the winter, but he's riding at top weight Alfred Hutchinson. He's dropped down to a very, very nice weight now for David O'Mara, and I think he'd go well, but again, as long as the ground stays fast. On to Chester, just the one. There's a big handicap there at Chester, 2:55. I know Andrew Baldwin's horses aren't running massively well, but South Seas was a huge eye catcher at the May meeting last time, and he's got Josh Bryan taking £5 off. Obviously, he's going to be another one, a hostage for fortune, with a hold up ride from stall 4 there. But
what time's
he,
that?
He's
kills?
Going to be winning 2:55.
2:55. Okay, mate. Lovely stuff. Now then. Because we've got a recording artist on the panel, Mark Boylan, we don't need Steve Palmer. So, please tee up the naps, Mark, with the traditional song.
Oh, jeez, you really caught me on the hop here. God, This will not be beaten.
You can do everything,
fantastic.
Can't he? Absolutely fantastic. Different class.
Jeez, lads, I wasn't expecting that, though.
That was beautiful. Right, I'm going to do a nap. I don't normally, but it's going to be James Garfield. Unfortunately, I've committed the sin that I always bollock everyone else for, and I can't remember the name, the time of the race. what is it?
It's at Haydock.
It's the 3:25, isn't it? Yeah. So 3:25 at Haydock. Get your money on James Garfield. Kills.
I go 2:50 Haydock. Crack on, crack on.
And Mark.
All this talk of the Star Spangled Banner getting controversy in the USA at the minute with US sports, but the US Navy flag will be flying high at the Curragh in the 4:10.
Lovely stuff. Back with Sunday next.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week, and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. TNCs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Bruce Millington, Paul Keighley and Mark Boylan looking ahead to some really good stuff at the Curragh on Sunday. By the way, before we look at the races, what sort of state is the Curragh in, Mark? Have you driven past lately? Is it still... It's starting to take shape now, isn't it? Some nice sort of pictures of curved architecture and stuff.
I haven't been able to visit the Curragh yet, as I'm just back from Scotland a couple of weeks ago. I've been over in Ayr for 4 months, but any time I've drove by it in the last couple of weeks, it's looking pretty impressive. So hopefully that'll keep continuing. I haven't experienced it firsthand from a facilities point of view, but I hope that the talk is that it'll be an improved showing on what we've seen in recent weeks there again. So please God, now it'll be good for everyone. I think it's when this is finished, it's going to be something else.
And can you recommend 4 months in Ayr? How was that?
It's grand, but you know what it was? I thought when I was going over there that, however much you might laugh at my accent at times, when I went over there, I had to go to any European place, any country to go, and I thought, I won't have to learn a new language. I'll go handy here. I'll go to Scotland. But by God, understanding them sometimes, especially when you're up for a few pints, Jesus, you'd love Google Translate or subtitles or something to keep you going. But no, really enjoyed it, and good racing, good people.
Lovely stuff. Okay, then let's get stuck into the 4:10. It's the Tattersall's Irish 1,000 guineas. And surprise, surprise, Aidan has got the Fav Paddy Power bet 11-8 happily, 9-2 Soliloquy, 6-1 Clemmy, 8-1 Who's Steph? Hang on a sec, I hit the wrong button. 10-1 Kiara Luna, 10 Lightning Quick, 14 Could It Be Love, 33 Bar. Paul Keighley, who wins this?
I think it's far, far more open than the betting suggests. Obviously, Happily probably deserves to be favourite on the third in the guineas, but third to a 66-1 shot, who won quite easily as well. Like, you know what I mean? So I don't think she reads outstanding form. She will obviously, like Aidan O'Brien's, come on. I thought Clemmy was going to win everything this year, but obviously she's had a problem. She wasn't ready for the guineas, and so she'll only be three quarters fit probably for this. So I was going to take a chance on Lightning Quick. Like the way she won last time. I liked the way she won first time out as a two-year-old last season. She only ran one other time and disappointed, but she came back with a win 3 weeks ago for Johnny Murta, and I think she could be quite good.
Jolly good. I hope you're right there, because I always like it when the great Johnny Murta trains winners. He's a top, top man. Mark, who do you like here?
Yeah, unoriginal, but I'm struggling to see Happily beaten here, to be quite honest. Really lovely comeback in the guineas, and I think in time she's going to want further than the mile. But the way this race will probably pan out, I'd imagine Ballydoyle having a few representatives will make it a test of stamina. And to be fair, she boasts the best form as a juvenile. I think Clemmy arguably could match that at times, but coming off the back of a break, I'd be happy to just watch her this time. So Happily for me, for win purposes. And you know what, I wouldn't put you off having a fiver each way on Most Gifted at 66-1 there. She made a lovely debut when Green as Grass at the Curragh earlier this month, came back and won nicely at Cork. The worry for me is that from a pundit point of view, she's drawn one. If they try to use her as a one to ensure there's a strong gallop, that would disappoint me. Your bet is out the window. But if she's ridden to stay on late and we get a bit of black type, I think you could have worked 66-1, folks. Five each way, wouldn't put you off.
Okay, the 2:25 is the Tattersall's Gold Cup. It's a group one, but it really is a pretty disappointing field. There's only five runners. They are Cliffs of Moher, Defoe, Lancaster Bomber, Reckless Gold and Success Days. I mean... Kills, we normally see the odd star in here cropping up, don't we? I mean, it's not the end of the world, this race, but I mean...
It's competitive. The thing about the Tattersall's Gold Cup normally is a four-runner race with a one-at-four shot. Like, you know what I mean? It's that sort of thing. It is a race that should not be a group one, and it's been...
It's a group one and a half.
Yeah, it's a sort of stepping stone to other proper group ones. Yeah. It's not a real group one to me. But anyway, it is what it is. I mean, you've got two horses here that you could have negatives about. I mean, I never trusted Cliffs of Moher last year. I know he returned with a win on his second start this year, but I wouldn't necessarily trust him. Defoe, I think, is by some way the best horse in the race, but he's coming back in trip in a small field, so will that suit him? Obviously, he stayed the leisure trip well enough, doesn't he? You know what I mean? He's at least a mile and a half. So I'm going to take a chance with last week my old mate Lancaster Bomber. Now he's his form's over a mile. I mean, he probably looks like he lacks a bit of pace at the end of a mile.
Wasn't stopping, like, last week.
But no, he wasn't stopping. He just lacks that pace that the real speed horses have got. So he's worth another try. Just having a look at him, he's barely ever tried any further than a mile. But he had the comments ran on well when he on muddy dirt in Maidan over 9.5 furlongs. So he will get the trip and he'll make the running as well. So, you know, success days, I suppose, might go on ahead of him, but I mean he will be up there, and I think he might steal a march on.
So you'll back him, but be fully prepared for maybe something to come past him late on.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Mark.
Yeah, I think that's a fair shout with Lancaster Bomber. I'm going to go with Defoe here, though. I think 7-4 about him, or whatever you can get in that sort of territory. That's pretty lenient there. I like his profile, you know, and look, he was very impressive last time when he put the race to bed. There was no doubt about it. Cliff Samore, for me, I had a soft spot for him last season, and he was unlucky definitely on occasions. But I'd like to see him when he's taken into the deep end here by Defoe. I really want to see him battle. And Ryan Moore won him last time without raising a stick, and I'd just like to see when Defoe brings him into the deep end, what he's able to come and find. And perhaps he will find plenty, but I think Defoe will be dour here. He's going to stay. Excellent British recent record in the race, and I'll be taking him on against Cliff Samore.
And the 3 o'clock is the Early Stud Galignol Stakes. It's a Group 3 over 1.25 miles. Mark Boylan, who will win this?
Yeah, this is very tricky now. A race I actually like, historically, I'd be quite fond of it, but I think this Latrobe here is maybe worth having a go. Odd to be putting forward one that hasn't won a race yet to be going for a Group 3, but this is an absolutely gorgeous Son of Camelot. Really eye-catching debut behind Found's brother, James Cook. He was 16-1 that day, so he shaped well without going and doing it. And he was beaten by Hunt and Horn on his seasonal reappearance there at Nace. The ground was plenty soft enough for him, and, you know, likely improvement with one of Joseph's come on for the run. And Hunt and Horn, since he's third in the classic trial at Sandon, I think, in the Chester Vaz, better ground now. They'll go nice and quick here, you'd imagine, with the sort of runners that we have in the field, and I think it's going to step up in class, could bring out better in him. He's going to stay further in time, but he's a really, really gorgeous horse. If you are at the Curragh, have a look, and hopefully you'll be going collecting afterwards to Latrobe.
And Mark, anything else on the Curragh undercard we should be interested in?
I tell you, there's one in the big staying handicap there at 5.20. Never rush a con. Tom Socks Madden takes off £5 there. He's had a really nice run at Punchestown in a race which he had good form previously, and then he won at Killarney in good form. I think he's really going in a good place at the moment. He's rated 73 in the flat. I think he's 143 over fences. You know, he should be very, very competitive in a race like this. And when you have a rider like Tom Madden to take off five, when you already are 8.6, it's always an advantage. I think he can go very, very well there for Jesse Harrington.
Okay, Kills, what price are you to win this weekend?
Massive price, because there's so many big handicaps. I'm going to be smashing it up all over the place.
Why don't you be disciplined? Just place your bets in the morning and then just don't have a bet in the afternoon. Has that ever happened?
No, it's not possible.
Isn't it? No. What are you going to be doing then? Working?
I'm going to be... No, I'm punting tomorrow, all afternoon on the racing, and I'm going to go out and watch couple of football matches back to back.
It's going to be really good, that, isn't
it? It is, yeah. I mean, I'm not the world's biggest football fan, but there's probably two proper matches, aren't
there? Oh, it'll be brilliant. Yeah, absolutely outstanding. And then Sunday?
Very little.
Very little.
Quiet day.
And of course, we're all gearing up to the big one next Thursday, aren't we? The big 5-0.
Yeah, Thursday. So if I'm on the podcast next Friday, I will sound really rough.
Well, I hope
I may
you
come
are.
Straight in from the casino.
Oh, excellent. That'd be good. That'd be very good. Mark, what's happening with you? I guess you're just back in Ireland. You're catching up with all the friends and family, aren't you?
That's it now, but we'll be hitting the Curragh, please God, on Sunday. I'm doing spotlights for Ballinrobe, I think, on the day, but I'll try and peep out and have a look at it. And on Saturday night, I'm a proud Offaly man, but we haven't had lots to shout about in GAA terms.
They a proud what man, sorry?
Offaly.
Offaly. Offaly. Yeah.
We're not a sporting stronghold.
I was going to correct you and say you're awfully proud.
You know what? I'd love it was the first time someone said it to me. But Offaly, it wouldn't be a big sporting place. But we've had Pat Smullen, probably the most prominent man, and Shane Lowry in the golf. But hopefully our hurlers will give it a good rattle against Wexford. They're 7 points against in the handicap. They have to give 7 points to, or getting 7 points from Wexford. I think that they'll go close in doing that. But
hopefully they give us something to shout about. We haven't had it for a long time, so that'll be what I'll be doing Saturday night in the Curragh Sunday.
Great to have you back.
Thank you.
Before we go, I would just like to say a heartfelt thanks to our senior producer, Rob Watson, who is leaving us next week to go and live up north. We wish you all the best, Rob. You've been an absolute star. You've played a huge part in building up these postcards from nothing to having regular five-figure viewing figures on a regular basis, and you've been a star to work with. Many thanks, Rob, and good luck. Don't forget, if you enjoy listening to the postcast, please rate, review and subscribe on iTunes. Maddie, Tom and the gang are back on Monday.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week, and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BGambleAware.org.